This is Jordan, and you're listening to the Code 7 Podcast Network.
Warning. This episode contains the three A's of podcasting: adult content, adult language, and awesomeness. You've been warned.
Welcome to Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them.
Hey, what's going on? This is Ricardo with the Code 7 Podcast Network, and this is going to be episode 291 of Within the Trenches, true stories from the 911 dispatchers who live them. This episode is, as always, is supported by InDigital, a leader in next-gen core services, and we are recording live from the 2019 TINA conference. We are currently within the vendor hall, and today is actually the last day of the vendor hall. We're going to be wrapping up in just a few hours. My laptop says that it's 11:32, but it's actually 10:32. My laptop never changed, so the time... still messing me up here. I got to switch that over. But we've got a few hours left. Again, this ends up finishing up at 1 p.m. And that's Central Time. And it has been an excellent time here, just networking, meeting all types of people, and seeing what everybody has here in the vendor hall with new technology, as well as organizations that are helping out dispatchers and such during times of crisis and healing and all. And I have my guest today, and he's a chaplain, and he's Ron Leonard. He's with Canines for Christ and Molly.
Yes, good
How's
to be
it
here.
Going?
Good Excellent. To be here. Thank you.
Good, good. Now, I think actually this is the first time that I've had someone on who has had a service like this, and this is 291 episodes. I'd have to go back and see, but I'm pretty sure that this is the first one. So kind of give us a little overview exactly what it is that you guys do, you know, where you're based out of, and how all this came to be.
Okay, sure. Canines for Christ was founded in 2006, 2007 by a guy named Chaplain Larry Randolph with his dog named Gracie. Mm-hmm. And it was founded in Tampa, Florida. And Larry was actually kind of sitting in a church service and says, you know, and God prompted him to start a therapy dog ministry. And Larry said, God, I don't even have a dog. So he said to the Lord, just said, I didn't ask you all that. I asked you to start a ministry. And so Larry went out and borrowed his sister's dog and started the ministry briefly. And then he got Gracie. And fast forward 10 to 12 years, we now have over 900 volunteers, 1,000 plus canines in 36 states and three foreign countries. So,
wow.
So we're excited about what God is actually doing with this ministry. Molly and I joined the ministry in 2012. In 2011, we had to put our Gabby to sleep and everything older. And so we got Molly, and we kind of asked God, what do you want us to do with this? And I discovered Canines for Christ, and we started doing that. And now I am retired military myself, so we're able to do this full time with Molly. And about 3 years ago, we started reaching out to the 911 dispatchers, the first responders, and police and law enforcement. And that ministry has really jumped up and everything. We have dispatchers across the country that are working with our therapy dogs. And I obviously work in the Tennessee area with our therapy dogs.
So what are some of the, I guess, kind of like the criteria really for you guys to be called out? So in dispatch, for example, you know, if there's a natural disaster or, you know, crazy weather going on, anything like that, they call in their TERT team,
to have their
backup dispatchers come in and help them out. And there's, you know, certain things that are going on. So with this, you know, how do people get a hold of you? You know, is it certain like big calls, like an active shooter or debriefing or something like that, and they call you in?
A lot of dispatchers that I know across the state have our card and have our website and everything like that and can contact me directly. And yes, there's an officer involved. Shootings, we'll go and try to minister to the officer. If there is a an active shooter, we'll obviously go. Most of the time we go in the aftermath when the scene is safe and people are needing us. We are trained to go into school shootings. We're trained to go into church shootings. So we just dispatched our volunteers recently in Dayton, Ohio, when they had that massive shooting at that bar.
Right.
And so we reach out to people like that, and we go. We've been involved in a lot of them and everything like that. Most recently with Molly and I, we were involved a couple of years ago with the Waffle House shooting in Nashville, and so we were involved in that. So, yeah, we go out to be a ministry of presence. We do things that the cadaver dogs can't do. We do things the search dogs can't do or the police dogs can't do. We are a ministry of presence. We bring calmness to a crazy situation.
Wow. So then you talk about, you know, having the training and all of this. What goes into that training? Like, what types of training do you guys actually do?
Training is that we usually try to let the dog get to be about 2 years old. We encourage our volunteers, if they can, it's not a requirement, but if they can, to take them through Petco, PetSmart Obedience Training, and that helps them in puppy training and everything. And then at 2 years old, we ask them to get them qualified with the AKC, which is the American Kennel Club. And then after that, we certify the dog to be a Canines for Christ dog. And we cover that dog with $1 million liability insurance. So everything is really covered with the dog. Yeah, it's a big process. Usually takes about 6 months to get a dog qualified. It really does.
So then going from there then, I mean, you get this call to go into a situation and you go into the dispatch center. What is it that you are all doing? Do you walk to each individual dispatcher and do they just kind of love on Molly, you know,
they
for example?
They love on Molly.
Or how does it work?
Yeah, Molly has a real tendency to know when a dispatcher's hurting because she's been in the situation so many times. And she goes to that dispatcher and just sits down with them. She knows how to go to a child that's in trauma and just lick the child till it comes out of a trauma. And so we just are a ministry of presence. Sometimes the best thing that we do is the vocabulary of silence. We just go in and do not say anything, and Molly just goes around. I take her to each dispatcher. We had one dispatcher recently. We had an officer lose his life in Nashville through a traffic accident, and Molly went to the center and went to the funeral, and we had a police officer just cry on the dog and everything like that. So we just allowed them to do that. Yeah.
Jeez. It makes the hair in the back of my neck stand up a little bit.
Yeah, it does. We deal with a lot of situations like that. Yeah.
How do you yourself prepare for this? You know, going into a situation like that, you know, Molly's got her job and everything that she does, and they're loving on them. But how do you yourself,
how do I prepare? First I ask God to give me the comfort that I can have. But at the same time, it's just a case by case. And sometimes you can't prepare. Sometimes you just have going through that. Sometimes it's okay not to be okay. Mm-hmm. With our officer that was involved in the thing, we go to a precinct all the time now that where these officers are still struggling with, they're losing one of their officers, and they'll be struggling with this a year from now. So dispatchers, when there is a child trauma, when there is a murder suicide, or a child gets hurt, or a child gets mercilessly killed, they have to process this through. They are humans like everybody else is. I call them our hidden heroes because they just don't know what's going on the outside, and yet they have to process this stuff through. So sometimes it just takes time, and we just have to prepare ourselves step by step, day by day, second by second. Yeah.
Wow. Jeez. And, okay, so then, and how long have you been doing this?
I've been doing this for 6 years now.
6 years.
Yeah.
So then in your experience, I mean, I guess, how have you seen this, like, just really, really help dispatchers when they're coming in?
We have seen an absolute, just the dispatchers, if you know the news magazine out there on the internet called Law Enforcement Today, they did an article on Molly of how that she comes in and just changes the life of the dispatchers and changes the life of the officers. It just brings a calmness to them, at least briefly during that time. Do we take away the total depression? Absolutely not. We can't.
But it's part of the healing process.
It's part of the healing process. The Veterinarian Association says when a dog or a cat licks you, a happy chemical actually goes through your body. And so I realized that from the Veterinarian Association, that when Molly licks somebody, she's actually sending a chemical through their body and everything like that. So,
wow. So that's something that I didn't know.
Yeah, that comes from the veterinarian doctors. Yeah, that comes straight from them. So it's thing. And you know, a lot of people are starting to deal with PTSD when this happens, you know. And we just bring Molly in, and Molly's on call 24/7. People ask me sometime what I do during a normal day. I said sometime I just look for crisis to happen around the country. And, you know, that's just what I do for a living.
Right.
So, you know, does any of this ever hit me personally? Absolutely. I'm human just like anybody else is. But I have to realize this is not a vocation. This is a calling.
Right.
And when it's a calling, you go out. And you'll find a lot of our police officers, even though they make good money and dispatchers make good money, they don't do this for the money. They do it for the calling.
So, exactly.
You know, our dispatchers are out there because they care about people. And so You know, people need to understand that. And I'm so glad that states are starting to pass laws to where they're now 911, not just dispatchers, but they're first responders. And
right,
I think that's
exactly
a great thing that's going on.
A lot of things will end up coming out of that with training, mental health and wellness and such. Now I asked you, for you specifically, you know, how you deal with this and how you prepare and such, but with everything, with all the healing that Molly does, is there anything that you or the organization does for their own dogs? You know, because I'm sure that they probably end up taking in some of that, stress as well. So how do you keep them
from just kind of being... We encourage our owners just to let the dog know they're loved.
Yeah.
To let the dog know they're cared for, to feed him well, to give him treats. Dogs are treat-driven. So when they do a good job, give them a treat. Every single time they help a dispatcher, give them a treat.
Yeah.
Sometimes Molly won't take the treat. She'll wait till we get home. And some dogs, that's just their personalities. But I've encouraged our volunteers. I'm the National Crisis Coordinator for Canines for Christ. So I encourage our volunteers, give them a treat all the time. Give them a treat, you know, because that is going to motivate them. And then when they get home, just love them and go, good dog, you know, and just do that. And just like police officers do with their canines. So, we encourage them to do that, to always keep the dog's confidence up and everything like that. So,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
So with everything that's been going on, because it seems to be almost normal that there's a lot of active shooter cases going on and everything. And what you do, how do you see, or how many are you actually responding to? Because now that it almost seems normal, and it sucks to say that, you've got to be going to a bunch of different places.
In the last month, we have probably responded to 8. So it's been just normal. We responded to the Gilroy, California shooting. We didn't have any volunteers near El Paso, so we could not get anybody there. We responded to... We responded to the Dayton, Ohio, and then we probably have responded to 5 officer-involved shootings. So,
jeez. And then, so that's definitely a lot that you're going to.
Well, people need to understand every 53 hours, a officer loses his or her life, every 53 hours. And basically, they tell me that every 6 to 7 seconds, an officer is assaulted. So,
jeez.
You know, we're dealing with stuff. Now, we don't respond to all those because we don't need to. But but with an officer-involved shooting, we try to get our dogs involved because not only did the police officer save his own life, which is good, he took somebody else's, and later on that's going to emotionally affect him.
I have to round back just a little bit because I love the fact that you say that a lot of the times when you go in there and you're doing these things, you know, the response that you have a lot of times is just in silence and let Molly do her thing.
Vocabulary of silence, yeah.
Right, and I love that mainly because I think back to a time where one of our sergeants passed away suddenly, and what they brought somebody in, and he was, I'm sure he was a great counselor, you know, but he doesn't come from public safety or anything, and didn't have a lot of that experience. So the first thing that he ends up saying to us is, how do you feel? You know, how do you feel about this? And
that's not the question you ask. I went through a training the other day on crisis incident response from FEMA. And you don't use that word. You say, how can I support you? That's the word you use.
There you
support.
Go. Yeah.
Once that's support, that means you're coming in and you're going to be in the mess with them.
Yes.
Something like that. Not how you feel, because you absolutely don't know how they feel at all.
Exactly.
And don't even attempt on it. Yeah.
Yeah. And that really threw us all off.
Yeah, I know.
We just automatically were just kind of shut down. We're like, okay, this is not going to work.
See, I would have come in and said, how can I support you?
Right.
And then people would have started opening up. Molly and I and my wife were at a church in Rock Hill, and they recently had just had a detective that was killed. We went in and said, how can I support you? And they totally opened up to what was going on.
See, and then in that same sense, with that same incident, actually right after that incident had happened, there was a gentleman who came in from an agency north of us, and he was quiet. He just came in, said who he was, and then just kind of walked around to kind of observe us, and then was just talking to us, and did the same thing like you're saying. You know, how can I support you? How can I do this? And he was in it with us.
Sure.
And he came from the seat just like us. It was a few days later that they had us sit with the gentleman who said, How do you feel? How does this make you feel? And we're like, can you bring the other guy back? Because he kind of understands.
And sometime with the dispatchers, Molly and I will wait 72 to 96 hours, and then we'll go in because that's when the after effect happens. You don't get over this immediately.
Right.
Sometime the first 24 hours, the dispatchers and the police, they're still in an investigative mode on this thing. And so we'll wait 96, sometime even a week, and then we'll move in. In Chattanooga, Tennessee, Hamilton County had a terrible bus wreck to where 6 to 7 children were killed, and Molly and I went in a month later. Marshall County, when they had that school shooting in Madisonville, Kentucky,
yes,
in that area, we went in 6 months later, and they still needed this. So, you know.
Yeah, and the two dispatchers that were working, I'm good friends with the both of them, and they've been on the podcast, and I had them sitting right across from me as they're telling me this whole story, and it's just mind-blowing.
Oh, from
Marshall County.
Yeah, from Marshall County.
Right.
Yeah. And so we just we try to go in later sometime, and that sometime will help. And we have ongoing processes. Molly will go in once, and then 7 months later go in again, and then a year later going again. So it's
that's awesome.
You know, it's just you know, it's just an ongoing process. You don't get over this in a day. You don't get over this in a month. You don't get over this in 5 years. So
exactly. Yeah, yeah. And you know, as we're here in the vendor hall, and you know, you go around, you see all this technology and everything that's coming in. You know, we've already got text to 911, and there's other companies out there that are, you know, talking about video and all this other stuff. Thinking about where you come from and the job that you do, as well as the entire organizations, Canines for Christ and Molly, how much more do you think that the calls are going to be coming in for you to go and help out with like video and people
and
actually
the video
seeing
and
all
the
of
Facebook
this?
And the Twitter and everything like that, but I said that with all the technology that is there, which we need it, don't get me wrong, we need
of course,
every single
right.
thing we need.
Yeah,
they still have got to be this human touch. If we lose the human touch, we lose everything that we're doing.
Fully
so,
agree.
It's like a police officer told me once that he has to finally realize as a human that if somebody wants to ambush me, there's not too much I can do. There's not too much I can do. And so I always tell people that every 911 dispatcher across the country is one phone call away from a life-changing emergency. One phone call away. As there's a new documentary out called Fallen by Officer Down Memorial Page, and it talks about that 90% of police work is social work. 10% is pure terror, but that 10% is going to change your life.
Right.
It really will. So it's really true that we need to understand most of the time of 911 dispatchers, it's going to be normal. There's not going to be calls. It's going to be somebody wanting to do their homework or, you know,
right.
or an old lady just being over, you know, just thinking, even though they technically are not supposed to call, we don't bother that. We try to work with them, you know.
Right, of course.
But then you get that one call with that screaming child, my whole family's just been killed.
Right.
That's the one that changes your life.
Exactly.
So, yeah.
Now, as we go into the wrap-up of this episode, thank you so much for being on and talking about this.
Enjoyed it.
How do people get a hold of you and the organization?
Okay,
social media?
They can go
email.
To www.k9forchrist.org. That's www.k9forchrist.org. Or they can email me at inchristalone2004@yahoo.com. And I assume all that will be on the podcast. But again, that's www.k9forchrist.org. We'd love to have more volunteers across the country. We just got one in Mississippi the other day, and we just got one in Alaska. So
nice.
So we're covering these states, and so we're excited. And people, all they have to do is just want to use their dog, and we'll do the rest. We've only had to reject a handful of dogs. So it's most people, if their dog is friendly and loves people, they are a candidate to be a good therapy dog. So just bring them in. Again, that's www.k9forchrist.org, and we would love the opportunity to be able to help you.
Excellent. Thank you again, sir, very much for being on.
Enjoyed it, and thanks for all that you do, too, man, for the
Thank you. I appreciate it. For those who are listening, if you have any comments or questions or you want to be a guest on the show, you can email us, and that's going to be wttpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter. That is @91podcast. You can like us on Facebook. That's facebook.com/withinthetrenchespodcast. This episode, as always, is supported by Indigital, leader in next-gen core services. And this episode, along with all the others, can be heard 24/7 on Apple Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Spotify, your favorite podcasting app, and withinthetrenches.net. Have a good one, everybody.
You just listened to a Code 7 Network podcast. If you have any questions or would like to be a guest on the show, send an email to wttpodcast@gmail.com.